Texas. Today is February 20, 2017, or is 8/24/2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled "Because He Lives." Yah sent His Son. They called Him Yahshua. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And love is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold the newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain day, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and love is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight last fight, no war with pain. And then a death gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future. Love is worth the living just because He lives. Part 16, Captivity and Restoration, Prophets and Kings. We're on page 444. The amazement of the assembled council of the nation known knew no bounds when the Jeremiah carrying the yoke of the subjection about his neck made known unto them the will of Yahweh. Against determined opposition, Jeremiah stood firmly for the policy of submission. Prominent among those who presumed to gainsay the counsel of the Yahshua was Hananiah. one of the false prophets against whom the people had been warned, thinking to gain the favor of the king and of the royal court, he lifted his voice in protest, declaring that Yahweh had given him words of the encouragement for the Jews. Said he, "Thus speaketh the Yahshua of the host, or the Yahweh of the host, the Elohim of the Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, 4 years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Yahweh's house that the Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon took away from this place and carried them unto Babylon, and I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith Yahweh, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Jeremiah 28:2-4. Jeremiah, in the presence of the priests and people, earnestly entreated them to submit unto the king of Babylon for the time that Yahweh had specified. For he cited the men of the Judah unto the prophecies of the Hosea, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and others, whose messages of the reproof and warning had been similar unto his own. He referred them to events which had taken place in the fulfillment of the prophecies of the retribution for unrepented sin. In the past, the judgments of the Elohim had been visited upon the impenitent in the exact fulfillment of his purpose, as revealed through his messengers. For the prophet which prophesied to the peace, Jeremiah proposed in conclusion, "When the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Yahweh has truly sent him." Verse 9. If Israel chose to run the risks further, developments would effectually decide which was the true prophet. Jeremiah, in the presence of the priests and people, earnestly entreated them to submit unto the king of Babylon for the time Yahweh had specified. He cited the men of Judah unto the prophecies of Hosea, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and others, whose messages of the reproof and warning had been similar unto his own. He referred them to events which had taken place in the fulfillment of the prophecies of the retribution for the unrepented sin. In the past, the judgment of the Elohim had been visited upon the impenitent in the exact fulfillment of his purpose, as revealed through his messengers. For the prophet which prophesied to the peace, Jeremiah proposed in conclusion, "When the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Yahweh has sent, truly sent him." Verse 9. If Israel chose to run the risk, further developments would effectually decide which was the true prophet. The words of Jeremiah counseling submission aroused Hananiah unto a daring challenge of the reliability of the message delivered. Taking the symbolic yoke from the Jeremiah's neck, Hananiah broke it, saying, "Thus saith Yahweh, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way, verse 11. Apparently he could do nothing more than to retire from the scene of the conflict. But Jeremiah was given another message. "Go and tell Hananiah," he was bidden, "thus saith Yahweh, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, I have put a yoke of Israel upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him."
I put a yoke of iron.
shall serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. All right, let's read that again. For thus saith the Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Yahweh hath not sent thee, that thou makest his people to trust in Allah. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against Yahweh. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Verses 13 to 17. The false prophet had strengthened the unbelief of the people in Jeremiah and his message. He had wickedly declared himself the Yahweh's messenger, and he suffered death in the consequence. In the fifth month, Jeremiah prophesied the death of Hananiah, and in the seventh month, his words were proved true by their fulfillment. The unrest caused by the representations of the false prophets brought Zedekiah under the suspicion of treason, and only by the quick and decisive action on his part was he permitted to continue reigning as a vassal. Opportunity for such action was taken advantage of shortly after the return of the ambassadors from the Jerusalem unto the surrounding nation, when the king of the Judah accompanied Syria, a quiet prince, on an important mission to Babylon, Jeremiah 51:59. During this visit unto the Chaldean court, Zedekiah renewed his oath of the allegiance unto Nebuchadnezzar. Through Daniel and others of the Hebrew captives, the Babylonian monarch had been made acquainted with the power and supreme authority of the true Yahweh. And when Zedekiah once more solemnly promised to remain loyal, Nebuchadnezzar required him to swear to this promise. In the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, had Zedekiah respected this renewal of his covenant oath, his loyalty would have had a profound influence on the minds of many who were watching the conduct of those who claimed to reverence the name and to cherish the honor of Yahweh of the Hebrews. But Judas, a king, lost sight of his high privilege of the bringing honor unto the name of living Elohim of the Zedekiah. It is recorded, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Yahweh his Elohim, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Yahweh. And he also rebelled against the king Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by Yahweh. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from returning unto the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. 2 Chronicles 36:12-13. While Jeremiah continued to bear his testimony in the land of Judah, the prophet Ezekiel was raised up from among the captives in Babylon to warn and to comfort the exiles, and also to confirm the word of the Yahweh that was being spoken through the Jeremiah during the years that he remained of the Zedekiah's reign. Or that remained. Ezekiel made very plain the folly of trusting unto the false predictions of those who were causing the captives to hope for an early return unto Jerusalem. He was also instructed for the foretelling by the means of a variety of simple and solemn messages, the siege and utter destruction of Jerusalem. In the sixth year of the reign of Zedekiah, the Yahweh revealed unto Ezekiel in vision some of the abominations that were being practiced in Jerusalem and within the gate of the Yahweh's house and even in the inner court. the chambers of the image and the pictured idols, every form of the creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel, and all these in the rapid succession passed before the astonished gaze of the prophet, Ezekiel 8:10. Those who should have been the spiritual leaders among the people, for the ancients of the house of Israel, unto the numbers of the 70, were seen offering incense before the idolatrous representation that had been introduced into the hidden chambers within the sacred precincts of the temple court. The Yahweh seeth this not. The men of Judah flattered themselves as they engaged in their heathenish practices. Yahweh hath forsaken the earth. They blasphemously declared, verses 11 and 12. There were still greater abominations for the prophet to behold at a gate leading from the outer to the inner court. He was shown women weeping for Tammuz, and within the inner court of the Yahweh's house, at the door of the temple of the Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, and with their backs toward the temple of the Yahweh, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east, verses 13-16. And now the glorious being, who accompanied Ezekiel throughout his astonishing vision of the wickedness in the high places in the land of the Judah, inquired of the prophet, "Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing unto the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me unto anger. And lo, they shall put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them." Verse 17 and 18. Through Jeremiah, the Yahweh had declared of the wicked men who presumptuously dared to stand before the people in his name, "Both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness," Jeremiah 23:11, and the terrible arrangement of the Judah as recorded in the closing narrative of the chronicler of Zedekiah's reign, this charge of the violating the sanctity of the temple was repeated. Moreover, the sacred writer declared, "All the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen and polluted the house of Yahweh which he had allowed in Jerusalem." 3 Chronicles 36:14. For the day of the doom for the kingdom of Judah was fast approaching. No longer could the Yahweh sit before them the hope of the averting the severest of his judgment. "Should ye be utterly unpunished," he inquired. "You shall not be unpunished," Jeremiah 25:29. Even these words were received with a mocking decision or derision. "For the days are prolonged, and every vision fadeth," declared the impenitent. But through the Ezekiel, this denial of the sure word of the prophecy was sternly rebuked. "Tell them," the Yahweh declares, "I will make that proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination in within the house of Israel. For I am the Yahweh, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and I will perform it, said Yahweh Elohim. Again, testifies Ezekiel, the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word of which I have spoken shall be done, saith Yahweh Elohim. Ezekiel 12:22-28. Foremost among those who were rapidly leading the nation to ruin was Zedekiah their king, forsaking utterly the counsels of the Yahweh as given through the prophets, forgetting the debt of the gratitude he owed Nebuchadnezzar, violating his solemn oath of the allegiance taken in the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Judah's king rebelled against the prophets, against his benefactor and against his Elohim. In the vanity of his own wisdom, he turned for the help unto the ancient enemy of Israel's prosperity, sending his ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? The Yahweh inquired concerning the one who had thus basely betrayed every sacred trust. Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him a king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he break, even with him in the midst of Babylon he shall die, neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war, seeing he despised the oath by the breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Ezekiel 17:15-18. Unto the profane wicked prince had come the day of the final reckoning. Remove the diadem, the Yahweh declared, and take off the crown. Not until Yahshua himself should set up his kingdom was Judah again to be permitted to have a king. I will overturn it for the divine edict concerning the throne of the house of the David. And it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Ezekiel 21:25-27. And that ends chapter 36. Go right on into chapter 37. Carried captive into Babylon. In the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came he and all his host against Jerusalem to besiege the city, said Kings 25:1. For the outlook for the Judah was hopeless. Behold, I am against thee, the Yahweh himself declared through the Ezekiel. How the Yahweh have drawn forth my sword out of the sheath, he shall not return any more. Every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men and skillful to destroy. Ezekiel 21:3-5-7 and verse 31. For the Egyptians endeavored to come to the rescue of the beleaguered city, and the Chaldeans, in order to keep them back, abandoned for a time their siege of the Judean capital. Hope sprang up in the heart of the Zedekiah, and he sent a messenger unto Jeremiah, asking him to pray to Yahweh on behalf of the Hebrew nation. The prophet's fearful answer was that the Chaldeans would return to destroy the city. The fiat had gone forth. No longer could the impenitent nation avert the divine judgment. Deceive not yourself, the Yahweh warned his people. The Chaldeans shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire, Jeremiah 37:9-10. The remnant of Judah were to go into captivity to learn through the adversity the lessons they had refused to learn under the circumstances more favorable. From this decree of the Holy Watcher, there could be no appeal. Among the righteous still in Jerusalem, unto whom had been made plain the divine purpose, were some who determined to place beyond the reach of the ruthless hand the sacred ark containing the tables of the stone on which had been traced the precepts of the Decalogue. This they did. With the mourning and sadness, they secreted the ark in a cave, where it was to be hidden from the people of Israel and Judah because of their sins, and was to be no more restored unto them. That sacred ark is yet hidden. It has never been disturbed since it was secreted. For many years Jeremiah has stood before the people as a faithful witness for Elohim, and now as a fated city was about to pass into the hands of the heathen, he considered his work done and attempted to leave, but was prevented by a son of one of the false prophets, who reported that Jeremiah was about to join the Babylonians, under whom he had repeatedly urged the men of Judah to submit. For the prophet denied the lying charge, but nevertheless the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison, verse 15. The hopes that had sprung up in the hearts of the princes and people when the armies of the Nebuchadnezzar turned south to meet the Egyptians were soon dashed to the ground. The word of Yahweh had been, "Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt." The might of Egypt was but a broken reed. All the inhabitants of Egypt, inspiration had declared, shall know that I am the Yahweh, because they have been a staff reed unto the house of Israel. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of the Pharaoh shall fall down. They shall know that I am the Yahweh when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt, Ezekiel 29:3-6. 30:25-26. While the princes of Judah were still vainly looking toward Egypt for help, King Zedekiah, with anxious foreboding, was thinking of the prophet of Elohim that had been thrust into prison. After many days, the king sent for him and asked him secretly, "Is there any word from the Yahweh?" Jeremiah answered, "There is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, "What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets, which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord, the king. Let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return unto the house of the Jonathan, the scribe, lest I die there." Jeremiah 37:17-20. this Zedekiah commanded that they commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Verse 21. The king did not openly manifest any faith in the Jeremiah, though his fear drove him to seek the information of him privately. Yet he was too weak to brave the approbation of his princes and of the people by submitting unto the will of Elohim as declared by the prophet. From the court of the prison, Jeremiah continued to advise a submission unto the Babylonian rule. To offer resistance would be to invite sure death. The message of the Yahweh unto Judah was, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth unto the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Plain and positive were the words spoken, and the name of the Yahweh the prophet boldly declared, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Jeremiah 38:2-3. At last the princes, enraged over the repeated counsels of Jeremiah, which were contrary unto their set policy of the resistance, made a vigorous protest before the king, urging that the prophet was an enemy unto the nation, and that his words had weakened the hands of the people and brought misfortune upon them. Therefore he should be put to death. The cowardly king knew that the charges were false, but in order to propitiate those who occupied high and influential positions in the nation, he feigned to believe their falsehoods and gave Jeremiah into their hands to do with him as they pleaded. The prophet was cast into the dungeon of the Malachi, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Verse 5. But Yahweh raised up friends for him, who besought the king in his behalf, and had him again removed to the court of the prison. Once more the king sent privately for Jeremiah, and bade him faithfully relate the purpose of Elohim toward Jerusalem. In response, Jeremiah inquired, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? The king entered into a secret compact with the prophet. As Yahweh liveth, that made us his soul, Zedekiah promised, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Verses 15 and 16. There was still opportunity for the king to reveal a willingness to heed the warnings of the Yahweh, and thus to temper with mercy the judgments even now falling on the city and nation. If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of the Babylon's princes, was the message given the king, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thy house. But if thou wilt not go unto the king of Babylon's princes, then shall the city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen unto the Chaldeans, the king replied, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But the prophet promised, they shall not deliver thee. And he added the earnest entreat, obey, I beseech thee, the voice of Yahweh, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. Verses 17 to 20. Thus even unto the last hour Yahweh made plain his willingness to show mercy unto those who should choose to submit unto his just requirement. Had the king chosen to obey, the lives of the people might have been spared, and the city saved from the conflagration. But he thought he had gone too far to retrace his steps. He was afraid of the Jews, afraid of ridicule, afraid for his life. After years of rebellion against Yahweh, Zedekiah thought it too humiliating to say to his people, I accept the word of Yahweh as spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. I dare not venture to war against the enemy in the face of all these warnings. But here Jeremiah entreated Zedekiah to save himself and his people. With anguish of spirit, he assured him that unless he should heed the counsel of Yahweh, he could not escape with his life, and all his possessions would fall unto the Babylonians. But the king had started on the right course. And he would not retrace his steps. He decided to follow the counsel of the false prophets and of the men whom he really despised and who ridiculed his weakness in yielding so readily unto their wishes. He sacrificed the noble wisdom of his manhood and became a cringing slave to public opinion. With no fixed purpose to do evil, he was also without resolution to stand boldly for the right. Convicted, though he was, of the value of the counsel given by Jeremiah, he had not the moral stamina to obey, and as a consequence, he advanced steadily in the wrong direction. The king was even too weak to be willing that his courtiers and people should know that he had held a conference with Jeremiah. So fully had the fear of man taken possession of his soul, if Zedekiah had stood up bravely and declared that he believed in the words of the prophets, already half fulfilled, what desolation might have been averted. He should have said, I will obey the Yahweh and save the city from utter ruin. I dare not disregard the commands of Yahweh because of the fear or favor of man. I love the truth. I hate sin, and I will follow the counsel of the mighty one of Israel. Then the people would have respected his courageous spirit, and those who were wavering between faith and unbelief would have taken a firm stand for the right. The very fearlessness and justice of this course would have inspired his subject with the admiration and loyalty. He would have had ample support, and Judah would have been spared the untold woe of carnage and famine and fire. For the weakness of Zedekiah was a sin for which he paid a fearful penalty. The enemy swept down like a resistless avalanche and devastated the city. The Hebrew armies were beaten back in confusion. The nation was conquered. Zedekiah was taken prisoner, and his sons were slain before his eyes. The king was led away from Jerusalem, a captive. His eyes were put out, and after arriving in Babylon, he perished miserably. For the beautiful temple that for more than four centuries had crowned the summit of the Mount Zion was now spared by the Chaldeans. They burnt the house of Yahweh and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, 2 Chronicles 36:19. At the time of the final overthrow of Jerusalem by the Nebuchadnezzar, many had escaped the horrors of the long siege, only to perish by the sword. Of those who still remained, some notably the chief of the priests and officers, and the princes of the realm, were taken to Babylon, and there executed as traitors. Others were carried captive to live in servitude unto Nebuchadnezzar and his son, and to his son, until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, verses 20 and 21. O Jeremiah himself, it is recorded, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah unto Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well unto him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. Jeremiah 39:11-12. Released from the prison by the Babylonian officers, the prophet chose to cast in his lot with the feeble remnant, certain poor of the land left by the Chaldeans to be vine dressers and husbandmen. Over these, the Babylonians set Gedaliah as governor. Only a few months passed before the newly appointed governor was treacherously slain. The poor people, after passing through many trials, were finally persuaded by their leader to take refuge in the land of Egypt. Against this move, Jeremiah lifted his voice in protest. "Go ye not into Egypt," he pleaded. But the inspired counsel was not heeded, and all the remnant of Judah, even men and women and children, took flight into the Egypt. They obeyed not the voice of Yahweh. Thus came they even unto Tapheth-phanes, Jeremiah 43:5-7. The prophecies of the doom pronounced by the Jeremiah upon the remnant that had rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar by the fleeing into Egypt were mingled with the promises of the pardon unto those who should repent of their folly and stand ready to return. For Yahweh would not spare those who turn from his counsel unto the seductive influence of the Egypt idolatry, yet he would show mercy unto those who should prove loyal and true. A small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, he declared. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. Jeremiah 44:28. For the sorrow of the prophet over the utter perversity of those who should have been the spiritual light of the world, his sorrow over the fate of Zion and of the people carried captive unto Babylon, is revealed in the lamentations he has left on the record as a memorial of the folly of the turning from the counsels of the Yahweh and to human wisdom amid the ruin wrought. Jeremiah could still declare, "It is of the Yahweh's mercy that we are not consumed." And his constant prayer was, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Yahweh." Lamentations 3:22-40. While Judah was still a kingdom among the nations, he had in part of his element. "Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion?" And he made bold to plead, "Do not abhor us for thy name's sake." Jeremiah 14:19-21. The prophet's absolute faith in the Elohim's eternal purpose to bring a order out of the confusion and to demonstrate unto the nations of the earth and unto the entire universe his attributes of the justice and love now led him to plead confidently in the behalf of those who might turn from evil unto righteousness. But now Zion was utterly destroyed. The people of Yahweh were in their captivity, overwhelmed with the grief. The prophet exclaimed, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of the people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of the affliction and because of the great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper. For the Yahweh hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. How hath Yahweh covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from the heaven unto the earth the beauty of the Israel, and remembered not his falsehood in the day of his anger? Yahweh hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horns of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devours round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary, and slew all that were pleasant unto the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. What then shall I take to witness for thee? What then shall I liken unto thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal unto thee, that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Remember, O Yahweh, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned unto to strangers, our houses unto aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquity. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Thou, O Yahweh, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou unto us unto thee, O Yahweh, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Lamentations 1:1-5, 2:1-4, 13:5-1-3, 7:8-17, and 19:21. Well, that ends chapter 37. We go into chapter 38. It's entitled Light Through Darkness. We're on page 464. The dark years of the destruction and death, marking the end of the kingdom of Judah, would have brought despair unto the stoutest heart, had it not been for the encouragement and the prophetic utterances of Yahweh's messengers through Jeremiah and Jerusalem, through Daniel and the court of the Babylon, through Ezekiel on the banks of the Chebar. Yahweh in the mercy made clear his eternal purpose and gave assurances of his willingness to fulfill unto his chosen people the promises recorded in the writings of Moses, that which he had said he would do for those who should prove true unto him. He would surely bring to pass. The Elohim, the word of Yahweh, liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. In the days of the wilderness wandering, Yahweh had made abundant provision for his children to keep and remembrance the words of his law. After settlement in the canyon, the divine precepts were to be repeated daily in every home. They were to be written plainly upon the doorposts and gates and spread upon the memorial tablets. They were to set to music and chanted by the young and old. Priests were to teach those holy precepts in the public assembly, and the rulers of the land were to make them their daily study. Meditate therein day and night, the Yahweh commanded Yahshua concerning the book of the law, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8. For the writings of Moses were taught by the Joshua unto all Israel. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversing among them, Joshua 8:35. This was in harmony with the express command of the Yahweh providing for a public rehearsal of the words of the Book of the Law every 7 years during the Feast of the Tabernacle. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gate. The spiritual leaders of Israel have been instructed that they may hear, that they may learn and fear the Yahweh Elohim, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear Yahweh Elohim as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Deuteronomy 31:12-13. Had this counsel been heeded through the centuries that followed, how different would have been Israel's history. Only as a reverence for the Elohim's holy word was cherished in the hearts of the people could they hope to fulfill the divine purpose. It was regard for the law of the Yahweh that gave Israel strength during the reign of the David and the earlier years of the Solomon's rule. It was through the faith in the living word that the Reformation was wrought in the days of the Elijah and Josiah. And it was unto those of these same scriptures of the truth, Israel's richest heritage, that Jeremiah appealed in his efforts toward reform. Wherever he ministered, he met the people with the earnest plea. Hear ye the words of this covenant, words which would bring them a full understanding of the Elohim's purpose to extend unto all nations the knowledge of the saving truth. Jeremiah 11:2. In the closing years of Judah's apostasy, the exhortations of the prophets were seemingly of but little avail, and as the armies of the Chaldeans came for the third and last time to besiege Jerusalem, hope fled from every heart. Jeremiah predicted utter ruin, and it was because of his insistence on the surrender that he had finally been thrown into prison. But Elohim left not to the hopeless despair the faithful remnant who were still in the city. Even while Jeremiah was kept under close surveillance by those who scorned his messages, there came to him fresh revelations concerning heaven's willingness to forgive and to save, which have been an unfailing source of the comfort unto the congregation of Elohim from that day unto this. Laying fast hold on the promises of Yahweh, Jeremiah, by the means of an accurate parable, illustrated before the inhabitants of the fated city his strong faith in the ultimate fulfillment of Yahweh's purpose for his people. In the presence of the witnesses and with the careful observance of all necessary legal form, he purchased for 17 shekels of silver and ancestral fields situated in the neighboring village of the Anathoth. From every human point of view, this purchase of the land and the territory already under the control of the Babylonians appeared to be an act of the folly. For the prophet himself had been foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, the desolation of the Judah, and the utter ruin of the kingdom. He had been prophesying a long period of captivity in the faraway Babylon. Already advanced in the years, he could never hope to receive personal benefit from the purchase he had made. However, his study of the prophecies that were recorded in the scriptures had created within his heart a firm conviction that the Yahweh purposed to restore unto the children of the captivity their ancient possessions of the land of the promise. With the eye of the faith, Jeremiah saw the exiles returning at the end of the years of the affliction and reoccupying the land of their fathers. Through the purchase of the Anathoth estate, he would do what he could to inspire others with the hope that brought so much comfort unto his own heart. Having signed the deeds of the transfer and secured the countersignatures of the witnesses, Jeremiah charged Baruch, his secretary, take this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. For thus saith Yahweh of the host, the Elohim of the Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land, Jeremiah 32:14-15. So discouraging was the outlook for Judah at the time of this extraordinary transaction that immediately after the perfection of the details of the purchase and arranging for the preservation of the written records, the faith of Jeremiah, unshaken though it had been, was now sorely tried. Had he, in his endeavor to ensure that Judah acted presumptuously, in his desire to establish confidence in the promise of the Elohim's word, had he given ground for false hope? Those who had entered into the covenant relationship with the Yahweh had long since scorned the provisions made in their behalf. Should the promises be unto the chosen nation ever meet with the complete fulfillment? Perplexed in the spirit, bowed down to sorrow over the sufferings of those who had refused to repent of their sins, the prophet appealed to Yahweh for the further enlightenment concerning the divine purpose for the mankind. O Yahweh Elohim, he prayed, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out on. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest love and kindness unto thousands and repentest the iniquity and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. For the great, the mighty Elohim, the Yahweh of the host is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according unto his ways and according unto the fruit of his doing. Thou hast set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and hast made thee a name as at this day, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, with great terror, and hast given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land furnished with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not the voice, and neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. And the rest of this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song entitled, Let the Heavenly Light Shine Through. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yahweh had created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all he can do. So draw near unto Yahweh, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh in his mercy when he comes again will have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. Yahweh is blessing when he comes, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had never come down. He spoke the word all creation heard, and the world started spinning around. He divided it from the night, and he also saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy when he comes, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Well, you climb up on a mountain and you look around, valley below, with the moon up above, that's the shining of love.
and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all the heavens and stars. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through.